This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, May is over. I mean, almost. It's almost over. It's almost June. Put a smile on your face. You have made it to the end of the week. It is weekend time. And we have a great show for you tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to talk a bit more about the government's slow pace, the slow pace of change that you're frustrated with. That'll come up quite a bit tonight. Talk a little Elon Musk. Someone wants to change careers. Is he too old? Someone has a question about libertarians. The administration. Someone thinks they're not doing anything for a COVID reckoning. All that history stuff. Do I wish I'd been a professional bull rider? And so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I actually want to begin here because this is a story I've been watching. It's a story you probably have heard about, but maybe not. There was an FBI guy. An FBI guy who just got arrested. Why did he get arrested? He got arrested because he was handing classified materials to a, look, the latest update I've seen is Friendly Nation. Every report says Friendly Nation, Friendly Nation. And he was doing so, at least in part, because he hates Donald Trump. So you know what it is. A communist infiltrator in the government. Of course, you already know, you listen to my show. Does he see himself as an FBI agent first? Of course not. The communist doesn't have any role that supersedes his communism. He's a communist first, and he's handing information, allegedly, to a Friendly Nation. Now, let's just pause for a moment, because I know you're asking the same thing everybody's asking right now. Friendly Nation? Who is it? Well, listen, couple things. One, it could be anybody because it's one of those things that's known, but you don't want to advertise it. You spy on your friends and your enemies. We do this too. It could be the UK. It could be Israel. Israel's famous. Israel spies on everybody, friends, enemies, whatever. It could be Saudi Arabia. It could look, pick your friendly nation. I don't know. It could be France, Germany. I don't know. But don't get too blown away by the fact a friendly nation was spying. Now, I will say this. There are lines you really probably shouldn't cross if you're a friendly nation. And this does pass that line. For instance, if you're a friendly nation, and let's say a congressman, let's say Eric Swalwell's coming to town, and Eric Swalwell has a date with a Chinese woman in the hotel lobby. Your spy agency may show up, may photograph it, you might even audio record it, but you're not going to share it. You start a file, you see. You never know when something like that might come in handy for your purposes. You take the information, you file the information. This is the kind of thing that happens. This probably exceeds that. If you're meeting FBI agents to acquire classified material and you're a friendly country, I will tell you, we're not going to know this for a while, if ever, because this stuff will be done in secret. Trump is going to respond to that, and whoever did it will be whipped in some way. I don't know what way. It might be economic. It might be something else. Whatever country did this is probably going to be whipped. I do hope, for their own sake, it was not Israel, only for the fact that I know Trump is already angry with Netanyahu right now. If it turns out Israel was acquiring on purpose classified materials in the middle of the fact. You know what it's like when you're in trouble already. You got a D in chemistry and you haven't cleaned up your room. You know that's not the moment to make mom angry because you're already kind of on the outs with mom. It would be bad, bad timing if it is Israel. And I'm not saying it is. I don't know who it is. No one knows right now. But either way, that's not exactly the point. That's not really where I wanted to go here. I want to talk about change. I'm going to talk about your frustration, the slow pace of it. Shoot, we can even make it about Elon Musk and all the Doge stuff. And his time is up, by the way. He has finished his time where he's allowed to work in the government without a big audit and things like that. So his time is up. So he's time limited. But he also has come out and said, hey, I'm not going to get involved financially in politics much anymore. He sounds frustrated and disappointed and walking away.
You know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful.
This is, by the way, I'm not avoiding the FBI story. This is all going to come back to that. It's all going to come back to that. Okay, so Elon Musk gets involved, finds all this waste, auditing things like that. It's basically what he does for a living. And he finds all this horrible government waste, and he starts sending all these reports in. Hey, we found this, we found this, we found that. And then he's frustrated that Republicans aren't jumping on that. And you see the White House now, Republicans jumping through hoops. Hey, we're gonna try to codify these things into law. Don't leave us, Elon. You know, it's all a big, hey, please give us more campaign donations, Elon. That's really what it's about. But I'm going to do something that I can't believe I'm about to do. And you're probably going to fall out of your chair. Please don't think that I've completely changed or lost my mind last night. I'm actually going to defend the government. More specifically, I'm going to defend the GOP, and more specifically than that, I'm actually going to defend the Trump White House and the pace of change. And this goes throughout. This applies to Cash's FBI. This applies to the White House. It applies to everything. Change in government. Change in our massive, bloated government. It cannot come as fast as change happens in the private sector. Because government is corrupt, especially our government is corrupt, it's huge, it's powerful, it's not only corrupt, it has this horrible combination of corrupt and stupid. Therefore, getting it ready to go, streamlining it, is going to take more effort than it normally would if you were dealing with a private company that's full of smart, ambitious people who are hired for their capability. So let's just say you're Elon Musk and you want to reform Tesla. I know it's his company, but you get me. Tesla. He wants to do something with Tesla. Well, what is Tesla? It's this big genius company full of super nerds where you've been hiring only the best and brightest. And these people are all ambitious people. That's why they're at Tesla. They want to be CEOs. They want to be inventors. They want to go to Mars. They want to do all these things. So you have a company full of people primed and ready for change and streamlined. They are primed and ready. In the government, you have a bunch of idiots, communists, and losers who can't do anything else in life. If I was to talk about Marine Corps boot camp, and I had two groups of people, the first group of people is a high school football team, 100 young men from the football team, they're joining Marine Corps boot camp versus 100 young men who don't play any sports. They don't work out. They are fat. They've been playing video games for 8 hours a day for 18 years. Fat, out of shape, not used to physical exertion. Now, who's going to have an easier time in boot camp? How quickly am I, the drill instructor, how quickly am I going to be able to get the football team in shape? In shape, strong, endurance, ready to go. Well, they're already primed and ready. They need a little work here, a little work there, but they're primed and ready. I'll have them ready. How long is it going to take me to get the platoon of fatties ready to go? It's going to take more time. I'm not defending the government. I'm really genuinely not. But what we have is such a massive, bloated, corrupt government that people from the private sector who are used to private sector efficiency, they walk into the government and they want it to be fixed. I told you this. I sent you that. That's an audit. I give you an order. And government doesn't work like that. Now, this is going to apply, because I'm not avoiding the question, back to this guy's question about the IT specialist sharing classified information. Before we get to that, I want to get to this. June is almost here. And you know, in this country, we will be drowning in rainbow ads now. It'll be awful. It'll be everywhere you look. Just nastiness everywhere you look. But your cell phone company is going to participate in this too. You realize that. If you have Verizon, they're going to participate. I'll keep you updated. AT&T, T-Mobile. Are you tired of this rainbow filth everywhere? Are you tired of paying for it? Pure Talk won't do that. Pure Talk's out there helping veterans. Pure Talk is led by a veteran who walked the jungles of Vietnam for this country. Pure Talk is so patriotic, they hire Americans. Nobody does that. Everyone does the call center in India. Pure Talk doesn't do that. Pure Talk shares your values and promotes your values, and you pay less for your cell phone service? Pick up your phone. Time to switch. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday. Do not forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So back to what we were discussing. I understand the frustration with private sector people. I understand your frustration. I understand my frustration with the pace at which things are moving inside the government. Why is this not happening yet? Why do we not have this? Why do we not know that? Why hasn't he been arrested? Why hasn't this? And it's not that I'm telling any of us, myself included, to stop pushing. We should push. They should feel us push every single day. But our government is gigantic, way bigger than it should be. It is corrupt, and it is full of idiots, communists, and losers. This is not a quick fix thing, and it's even worse than that. I say it's full of idiots, communists, and losers. They're idiots, communists, and losers who, over the course of years and years and years, really decades and decades, have put into place a system of protections for themselves. Protections for themselves. So you can't just walk in like you can in Tesla or Coca-Cola or your business and say, you're fired, leave, I'm hiring somebody else. You're arrested, we have the documents. We have a government full of scum, and it's going to take time to clean it. Scott Bessent came out. He was talking about Elon's departure and the Doge stuff. Here's what he said. Listen to something very important he said, which I really agree with.
Elon came in 100 days, did some very important work. And, you know, I'd characterize two principles with Doge here. One is the absolute level of cost cutting, which Elon has set in motion. So Doge is not going to end with Elon. You know, it is a way of thinking about cutting costs, and it's also a way of thinking about making the government more productive and more efficient.
What I want and what you want is Elon Musk comes in, he finds X, Y, and Z, waste, 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 corruption, corruption, corruption. He finds X, Y, and Z. Okay, we brought him in, he found it, now let's fix it. That's how it works in the private sector. In the government, it doesn't work that way. If in the end, Elon's real big accomplishment, on top of helping get Trump elected, which he did, if Elon's big accomplishment is exposing the fraud and aiming some reforms at that fraud, that doesn't sound like near enough, does it? Not to you. Not to me. You want it fixed now. So do I. But maybe that's as good as it gets. For now. Baby steps. And I mentioned the football team versus the fat kids in boot camp. We've talked about this before because it's a great way to think about our government. Maybe you're overweight or have been overweight in the past. Maybe you're super fat right now. You're not going to be chiseled tomorrow. You are going to have to accept that it's going to take time. You're not going to start out doing 15 pull-ups at CrossFit. You're going to go for a walk and you're going to be gassed. What, Chris? Chris said, but the fit guy's consistent, government's not consistent. Well, Chris brings up an excellent point because there is, with all of us, I know with me, we do feel a level of desperation because of how bad it is and because we feel like we are on limited time. And you always are. You're on limited time until the other party wakes up, comes back. Maybe they win at the midterms. Maybe something crazy. Maybe they win the White House. We feel like we need this now. We don't have money. We need this now. And I feel the same way. It's not like you guys feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. I'm the exact same way. But there's nothing you and I can do to make a fat, bloated, corrupt government full of criminals move like a razor-sharp private sector company full of smart, ambitious people. It doesn't work that way. You can buy Twitter and walk into Twitter and fire 80% of the staff and go grab a bunch of smart engineers and hire them and beep, 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 6 months, you got that bad boy running like a well-oiled machine. The government not only doesn't work that way, as I mentioned, there are all kinds of things in place to ensure the government can't work that way because the scumbags who filled up our government have spent decades ensuring their jobs are protected. That's how it works. And that is our challenge. So if this started something, good. Yeah, I mean, you got Tim Scott saying things like this, which is kind of a lie.
Well, first, let's thank Elon Musk for his amazing service to the American people. He has done what no one else has done before, found hundreds of billions of dollars of cuts and waste, fraud, and abuse. No more 300-year-olds getting Social Security checks because of Elon.
Okay, so Tim got the talking points. Does he want to do any cuts? No, but now he feels pressure to at least talk about them. If he has to talk about them, maybe one day he has to do something about them. Do some emails. Dear Small Hand Goldfish Killer, I always hear you advertising for Chef IQ and how easy it is for someone who was once a Marine, failed out of college, lost twice for Congress. I told myself no way it can be that easy. So I made the purchase, and to my surprise, I could be VP Harris Intelligent and still put out great food. If anything, you undersell it. You never mention the app alone that asks what kind of meat you're cooking and then gives you a ton of recipes to choose from. And then literally, he said that to make me mad, gives you a step-by-step, even a video to complete the best cooked meat there is. Okay, I have to be honest with you about this. I have told you about Chef IQ a million times, the wireless cooking thermometer. And I have told you that your phone will tell you when it's done. The reason I haven't gone into the app and told you that, yeah, right there on the app, you can say I'm cooking beef, I'm cooking chicken, the reason I haven't told you about those aspects of the app, it's because I don't use them. I just like the thermometer part of it. I like the fact that the phone tells me when it's done. I put the thermometers in the meat, I set the temperature, and I walk away. And I know I should dig into the app, but you know I don't like technology. I like to use it just like a thermometer. Is there a lot more to it? Yes, there's a lot more to it. I'm sorry I've never gone into it, but I don't like to lie, and so I don't want to sit and act like I know features that I don't use. I put the temperature thing in. I set the temperature. My phone tells me when it's done, okay? I don't use the app to its fullest extent, okay? I'm sorry. Chef IQ, I'm sorry. Everybody, I'm sorry. You want 15% off one? Promo code Jesse. ChefIQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, an absolutely wonderful Friday. Thrilled to be here going through all the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Somebody's mad that we're not getting more of a COVID reckoning. I owe you that talk we were going to have about communist lies and language last night, and we will get to that. In fact, I'll get to that after this next one, but I wanted to address this really quickly. The guy says, hey, Oracle, why haven't libertarians come out of the woodwork at all? Now would be a prime time to insert its party into the mix, don't you think? And would that be a bad thing for conservatives? Well, libertarianism. First of all, I like the government super, super small, super tiny. I probably am almost, I don't know, half a libertarian. I don't know how to say this. But I will say libertarians, and maybe you are one, they are right about a lot. However, there's a time and place for everything. And this time we live in now, it's not that this isn't the time for small government. It, of course, is. This probably isn't the time where libertarians are going to get any kind of a foothold at all. And let me elaborate on this a little bit. Let me go into this a little bit deeper. I brought up a football team earlier. I'll bring it up again. You ever pay attention to any of these football teams? And they'll get this hard-nosed coach. You get one of these real hard-nosed coaches. You know, go run stairs till you die. And he's there for a long time. And he beats on the players and beats on the players and beats on the players. And then eventually, after they do some winning, the team starts to fall off. They dump the hard-nosed coach. And they hire a player's coach. He's one of the guys. And for the first year or two, they thrive and they win a bunch of games. And vice versa. Teams had a player's coach, one of the boys, for a long time. And then team starts to lose. They dump the player's coach and they bring in the hard-nosed guy. Go run stairs till you die. And boom, team wins for a while. Why is it? What's going on? Well, there's a time and place for everything, you see, and this includes governments. Libertarianism, the idea of government being limited, is wonderful and perfect and great, and that's what I want. But libertarianism, this is one thing that libertarians often get completely wrong, it cannot work everywhere. Every form of government is always treated as the only one. When you're a fan of any kind of a form of government, whatever form you're a fan of, you want to believe it would work everywhere. Maybe you're a traditional conservative right now, and you would just want the Constitution, and you want that for everybody because that's what, you know, God-given natural rights. And I understand your heart. I'm not complaining about that. Yeah, go ahead and try to sell that in the Middle East. We've been doing that. How's that landing? Those people aren't made for that. Not at this point in time. With the culture, with the history they have, there are religious aspects to this. There are places all over the globe where your preferred form of government simply will not work. It's not possible. Remember that great quote? We've used it before from John Adams. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. This won't be exact. But he's basically, he comes out and he says, this government, this whole constitutional government, limited government that we have, where the federal government is to remain small and limited, the states really are, they really can run their own show, and the people should be free. He flat out said, this kind of government will only work on a moral people. And he said, it's completely unsuitable for any other kind. It's not just that he said it will only work for moral people. He flat out said, this kind of government, a limited government, a small government, it's not going to work on a population that loses its mind. And what's he really saying there? What did he mean by that? Well, I'll just flat out and give it to you right between the eyes. A population where the nuclear family is shattering, this government won't work for that. A population that is no longer attending religious services, this kind of government will not work for that. It simply will not. If the people go astray, then this kind of government fails. Right now, for instance, I'll tell you, I saw somebody this morning. I think he was with Reason Magazine, which tells you all you need to know. That's about one of the most worthless libertarian publications out there. But I saw somebody this morning. Trump is kicking out the Chinese students from Harvard. We talked about this a little bit last night. Chinese students who are here on a visa are oftentimes part of the Chinese intelligence network. This is well known, well established. Everybody knows this. They're not coming here to try to leave China. They're coming here to spy on behalf of China and carry that information back home. Again, well known, not debatable. It's not even arguable. And the guy came out and said that we shouldn't be kicking any of these people out. We should take them in just like we took in defectors from the Soviet Union. And this, he's one of these libertarian types. That's so insanely naive to where we are. An enemy is sending spies into your country. You don't sit back and let it happen. What is that? What is that childish naivete? That doesn't work. At a time when the communists have conquered so many institutions, and they're using the institutions against the people, against the country itself, that's where we're at. At that point in time, people don't want to even entertain the concept of live and let live. Hey, you do what you want. Laissez-faire, hands off. Look, the tariff stuff is actually a great example of this. Great example of this. There are a lot of people who love tariffs, a lot of people who hate tariffs, but we're not talking about that right now. There have been lame arguments on both sides of this, no question. But when I hear the non-tariff, I hate tariff people, when I hear people make arguments against it and totally ignore the fact that we've lost our manufacturing, I just sit back and shake my head. And I'm not even saying the tariffs will fix that. I've already explained before why we've lost manufacturing, stuff like that. We don't have to go into that now. But when you don't address that as a problem, no, everything's working fine. We don't need tariffs. Everything's fine. Well, look, it doesn't even matter if you're right. You're not, but it doesn't even matter if you're right. The Rust Belt towns who have lost everything because the plant moved to China, they will ignore you. They hate your guts. They'll never listen to you. You can say that until you're blue in the face. You better tell those people a solution. Your solution better not be, it's all working fine now. What's your problem, redneck? If that's how you speak to those people, they'll never listen to you again, and they shouldn't. And that's how the non-tariff people have sounded a lot. And vice versa. If you're a pro-tariff person, I have to say, a lot of you sound like dirty communists sometimes. You do. Well, you don't need an extra iPhone. You don't tell me what I need. You don't control what I purchase. Don't you try to control me. So there's bad arguments on both sides. I get that. But if you want to just be hands, hey, man, free trade. You know how terrible that lands on a Rust Belt town that lost the factory but got fentanyl? Now they're poor, drugged out, miserable. The town's a disaster. Do you know how that lands? It doesn't land very well. All right? All right. So that's, look, it's just not a great time. It's not a great time for libertarians to sell what they're selling. That's the best way I can put it. They're out there selling ice-cold lemonade, and it's December, and it's 30 below outside. That's a great sell in July. In December, probably want to go with a different tactic. Maybe hot chocolate. Let's do some hot chocolate because it's December. Make sense? All right. I want to talk about this guy who, well, this filthy communist who lied. He flat out invented a mass shooting. How's this happen? Why has this happened? Why haven't you given your dog rough greens yet? What are you waiting for? You waiting for that horrible trip to the vet where you find out you don't have much time left? I give Fred rough greens because he's part of the family. And we want him to live as long as possible. But I mean, look, he's 4 already. Don't have much time left. 5-6 years. Rough greens gives me more time. It's giving your dog real nutrition. Created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. You sprinkle it on your dog's food. Your dog will love it. But your dog, on top of loving it, will have so many physical improvements. It fixed Fred's digestive issues. His coat looks great. His breath is better because he's getting nutrition. Doesn't your skin look better? When you get real nutrition versus Cheetos every meal, even though that's delicious, go to roughgreens.com and get a free jumpstart trial bag. Just try it. See what your dog thinks. Or call 833-33-MY-DOG. I guess you can't ask your dog about it, but you will see physical differences in your dog, and that's probably what you're going to have to go with. Either way, roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, we're going to have a little communist lie all the time about everything segment. Remember, you can email the show. We're live here on a Friday night, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We've talked many times before about different value systems. But remember, the communist does not share your value system. And it is human nature to think the other people around you, wherever they are, your coworkers, the guy across the hall, the driver next to you on the road, it's human nature to think other people share your value system. After all, they look like you, right? Two arms, two legs. No. There are people all across the planet from all kinds of different religions and cultures. They don't share your value system at all. Honesty, lying. What do you think about lying? Would you ever tell somebody, hey, my name's Jesse, I'm a liar. I lie a lot. Oh, you wouldn't? Why? Well, because lying's not an admirable thing. Lying, to you, a good person, is not good. But there's the thing. You will lie on occasion. You've lied before. I've lied before. We all have. We're all fallen. And when do you lie? When do you lie? When you feel like you absolutely have to avoid something, avoid hurting someone's feelings, avoid getting in trouble, avoid. But when you do it, you don't brag about it, do you? You don't run and tell your boys, "Hey, I lied, man. It's awesome." You keep it quiet. Oh, honey. No, that dress doesn't make you look fat. You don't brag about it. It's something you do when you feel like you absolutely must, but that's the only time you do it. I'm going to tell you something, and it's hard to accept, but it's true. That's how the communists feel about the truth. Did you know that? Communists believe in lying. At all times, about everything. That's what they believe is a moral good. They believe on behalf of the revolution, they should lie at all times about everything. They will, on occasion, tell the truth, but only if they absolutely have to and they don't have any other way to do it. And I know that sounds bonkers, but you want to hear bonkers? You want an example? Okay. There was a big crowd at the Kentucky State Capitol. There's a big gun-grabbing group, Moms Demand Action, there. They invited this young man to speak. Calvin Polachek is his name. Huh, Calvin Polachek. Calvin Polachek got up, talked about a tough day for him.
In 2017, Polachek was in a school shooting in Dallas, Pennsylvania, where he lost his best friend, his brother, and nine classmates.
A week later, I had to go back to that school, and that was the worst part. Because you had to walk past that spot where I saw my best friend, right, and pretend it was all normal. It was not normal. Folks, that's been 8 years, and I've been talking about this every single day since then for 8 years. 8 years of talking about this, and there's been nothing that's changed.
8 years. 8 years he's been talking about this. Think about that. For 8 years, he even said it every day. He's been talking about that shooting, what he went through. Yeah, he made the whole thing up. Imagine the kind of moral fabric it would take to get up and fabricate a school shooting every day for 8 years. This is a speech we have on camera because the local news did a report on it, but 8 years. I'm sure traveling across the country, giving speech after speech after speech after speech for a story you know you're making up, for a story you know is a lie. What kind of a person would do something like that? Somebody who doesn't share your value system at all. Listen to this masterful performance by Stephen Miller. He went on CNN. Lady was trying to ask him about illegals. Listen to this. Listen to him call her on her language and how uncomfortable she gets.
What is the administration going to do now? And this is an undocumented immigrant. I do want to note that. But this was someone who came forward, was a victim of a crime, and now law enforcement believes he was set up. Go ahead.
Well, I want to clarify what you mean, so we're talking about the same thing. Are you saying this immigrant was here illegally?
Yes, but I am, and that's why I said that. I clarified
well,
that.
You said undocumented, and I wasn't clear what that means. I'm assuming they have a fake ID. I'm assuming they have a fake social security
that's
number.
That's neither here nor there. That's getting away from the question, Stephen. I want this to be, and call me naive, a good faith discussion about what's happening right now.
Listen how upset she is. He's calling her on the lie. Remember, undocumented is a lie. It's a lie that communists put out there so you don't have to refer to the barbarians they brought in as illegals. She told the lie. He called her on the lie. And now listen, she just desperately, look, we're doing good faith. Why are you, what are you doing?
When we use language that's designed to obscure the truth, that's not good faith.
Okay,
an illegal alien is an illegal alien. They're not an undocumented migrant.
Okay, that's fine. That's another discussion for another date.
I don't know the details of the assassination.
Listen to how upset she got. What are you doing? I told the lie. Don't call me up. Listen to Hillary Clinton. She went on MSNBC. Listen to how these people think.
But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
Why do they want people criminally charged for political opinions? Why do they say things like this?
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
How you think about lying, that's how communists think about telling the truth. I know that's hard to accept. For them, lying is what you're required to do. You can't sell a demonic religion of destruction by telling the truth. Yet there may be an occasion where you have to, but you're not going to feel good about it. Just make sure you're lying at all times. Remember who you're dealing with. All right, let's talk COVID reckoning. First, let's talk about changing careers. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.